Checkerfin. Checkerfin.
Boredom is always in my head.
Checkerfin. Checkerfin.
Yes.
It's the education gadfly.
Sex, sex.
Mike and Rick tell you
early college, high school,
know about
pain and suffering,
learning and teaching.
In your face, in your face, in your face.
Listen to your words that they be preaching, cause here's the education gadfly show. Yeah. It's the education.
Hello, this is your host Mike Petrilli of the Thomas B. Fordham Foundation, here with my co-host, a man still in newlywed bliss, Rick Hess.
Hey, Mikey.
Rick, you just have a smile from ear to ear.
Dude, it's good to be here. It makes me happy. It's good to be a newlywed. And it is good to be living when it's morning in America.
Lovely. So, Rick, we were at a Pennsylvania primary party with a couple of loyal podcast listeners last night.
Mm-hmm.
So, this thing's just going to go on and on and on, isn't it?
So, what do you see, Mike?
What do I see?
What do you see?
I think this goes through June, through the Puerto Rico primary. And then, if it's more or less where it is now, I think most of the superdelegates get behind Obama.
Do you think K-12 education is going to be decisive in the later Democratic primary contests?
The only thing decisive about education these days seems to be that well-educated voters are voting for Obama, and people with less education are voting for Clinton. So this is, you know, I do these Google searches trying to find education and K-12 campaign and anything, and that's all that comes up.
Mm.
But no, unfortunately, too. At 08, our friends over there, nobody cares about education this time.
Hold on. So now you're just rubbing salt in the wounds. Didn't you guys already give enough offense with that really funny ad that y'all did?
Yes, an ad that you thought was hilarious.
That was one of the funniest things I've seen.
All right, final question about last night, Rick. Is it true that at the Pennsylvania primary party you had two pieces of shoe fly pie?
I might have hit 2.5, I got to say. But it wasn't very satisfying because there's no like chunks in it. There's no chocolate in it. Mm-hmm. It's just a lot of like powdery stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
But props to Vince for the who would have thought somebody could make that bad boy?
It was very impressive. Very impressive. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, a lot to cover as always. We'll play some Pardon the Gadfly. We have some education news of the weird. No education outrage of the week this week. Mr. Cooner is taking the day off. Mm. So, he'll be back next week. I'm sure outraged more than usual.
I'm outraged that he's not here.
All right. Well, try to simmer down then. Okay, Christina, let's play Pardon the Gadfly.
Topic one. Yesterday, Secretary Spellings announced some major regulatory changes to No Child Left Behind. Mike, your thoughts?
Well, at first blush, it's a lot. It's a big package. It covers all kinds of things around accountability, around restructuring, around choice, supplemental services. Though I think when you look at the details of it, you really see that, you know, even with the best of intentions, you can't do a whole lot through regulation. It's certainly not the same that you can do by actually overhauling the law, because you're not allowed to submit regulations that blatantly contradict the law itself. So, for example, on restructuring, they do some tweaks to try to make restructuring, more substantive, but they can't get rid of this notorious fifth option under restructuring, where you can basically do anything that you want to do, not, you know, turn around the school. Same on supplemental services. They say that the districts, if they want to spend their money on something other than the free tutoring, remember that under the law, they're required to spend 20% of their Title I money on free tutoring or school choice. If they want to use that money on something else, they now have to submit something to the state showing that they've really made a strong effort to get the word out to parents. That's good, but it doesn't go so far to say use it or lose it, that if you don't spend this money on free tutoring, you can't spend it on anything. Again, you'd probably need a rewrite of the law to be able to go that far, but that's what's really needed to create the right incentives.
Mike, I mean, you sound like a guy who lived this law in and out, in the administration for a couple of years. You know this stuff.
I still wake up having nightmares about it.
It's I think there's two big takeaways here. One is Mike's point is, look, most of this stuff seems pretty thoughtful. It seems like it's on the right track. Certainly the fact that, you know, districts have to make a good faith effort on notification is something that Checker and I flagged in that book like 4 years ago, and that a lot of people have pointed out. So that stuff's all the right direction. But the bigger issue here is No Child Left Behind is a mishmash of a couple of different models of things you're trying to do. One, it's a national x-ray of student performance. Another is it's a behavioral change regimen. So frankly speaking, you can try to make the distinct components work a little better. And they're to be congratulated for some of the stuff which makes sense on that front. But you can't fix this law because this law is fundamentally incoherent as it stands, and a broader and deeper fix requires going back and retooling the law itself.
I think that was the most serious conversation we've ever had on the podcast.
Good for us.
Let me ask you this, Rick. You've written two books about No Child Left Behind and its interventions and sanctions and school choice, SES. So are you going to take credit for these regulations? Do you feel like that they finally read these books and are implementing them?
Seems highly unlikely, doesn't it?
I gave you a chance.
I appreciate it. You know, that's right. I'm going to put on my think tank hat. I'm going to be like, you know what? I'll bet this was widely read by these folks night in, night out. Their spouses couldn't even get their attention because they were like page 173 of No Remedy Left Behind. Boom. And boom, there you go.
Okay, Christina.
Okay, thank you. Next one, Randy Weingarten writes a column for the New York Daily News about why teacher tenure isn't such a big deal. Among her notions, that tenure merely prevents teachers from being disciplined or fired without due process. She neglects to describe what counts as due process in some districts. How wrong is this op-ed?
I like that leading question, Christina. Ricky, what do you think?
It's pretty wrong. To give Randy her merits, technically she's right, right? All contracts say is you can't fire people without due process. But that's a little bit like saying that the U.S. Constitution says, you know, Congress can remove the president whenever they want. Technically, all they have to do is impeach him and then convict him. Fact is, that's never been done. And that's the reality is, sure, in theory, you can remove teachers under these contract provisions. The reality is, it becomes enormously time-consuming and enormously expensive, and therefore is rarely done.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're exactly right, Rick, and I like your impeachment metaphor, which I understand came from Kobe Loop, our producer of the show.
Yes, because, you know, my original metaphor was that technically it's like saying if you throw a baby into a field, and you've got a workman pushing a wheelbarrow filled with bricks towards that baby. Technically, it's true that the workman can stop. But the problem is if you ever pushed a wheelbarrow filled with bricks when you're doing like landscaping, it gets a lot of momentum.
Yeah.
And the reality is it's much more difficult to stop than you might imagine. And so you wouldn't want to routinely be throwing babies in front of those wheelbarrows. So I'm just saying that Randy might be saying, sure, there's no harm in throwing babies in front of wheelbarrows filled with bricks when you're picking up speed. But the reality is you don't want to do that any more than you have to.
I think it's exactly what she's saying. I think in her next op-ed, that's exactly how she's going to put it. I'm sure. Remind me never to have you do any landscaping when you're around my baby, Nico, by the way.
Oh, Nico's pretty agile. That's all I'm saying.
That's right. I think that I was in Cleveland yesterday. I had some back and forth with the local teacher union president there. And this is exactly the same kind of thing she said. Look, you know, all these principals say you can't fire teachers. Of course you can fire teachers. We're all in favor of firing teachers. But, you know, it takes 2 years. It takes hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, and you don't even know if the outcome is going to come out the right way. So, devil's in the details.
Now, just to give them one point of their due, that it is true that the principals and superintendents could be more aggressive on that count.
They could be. Why. What, the devil's in the details.
But that's devil's in the details is not the same thing of saying it's also the case that management needs to step up and put on its britches.
You know who needs to step up, Rick?
The wheelbarrow guy?
Exactly. Okay, Christina.
And cut. Three. Last one. A Seattle teacher refuses to give the WASL to his students.
What's the WASL?
The Washington.
Sounds a little dirty,
something,
doesn't it?
Something, something. Anyway, modern day Martin Luther, yes or no?
I believe the WASL is the state test.
I got to say, if Kuna were here, he'd be like, can you believe that a teacher was refusing to WASL the students? Or I can't believe that they've got teachers in Washington State who are WASLing their students, shoving their WASL at the students. Thank God this teacher didn't WASL. I want to see everybody else fired.
Yes. That was very good, Rick. You know, it's good because when you're not here, we do Rick impersonations.
Give it the WASL.
Yep. Yep.
Mike.
We say, hey, Christina, you're looking good today.
I am outraged that teachers are routinely giving the WASL to the students in the great state of Washington.
All right. So,
which is south of Canada.
So, Rick, we're supposed to be debating this issue.
Oh, right.
Is this guy a modern day Martin Luther?
Only if you think a cop who refuses to arrest kids for shoplifting is a modern day Martin Luther.
Boom. Look at the analogies. You're Mr. Analogy today.
Boom. There you go. The role of a public employee. And this is one of the reasons that we might not want to have everybody in education work for the state. The role of a public employee is to execute the will of the people as given form by the legislature. If the legislature has created statutes requiring that the teachers administer the WASL, one of the responsibilities of teachers in the state of Washington is to administer that test.
Yep. Interesting.
And if he is not comfortable doing it, he can go work somewhere else.
And I have to say, in Tacoma Park, Maryland, where I live, there's a big debate going on about how the city council might pass a provision telling the police not to enforce the marijuana laws. right? Or to at least make that the lowest priority on their list, you know? So now in this case, if a police officer is being told not to enforce the law, if the local community tells the teacher, we don't want you to give the wassail, you know, then right. That's a different issue.
That's them, right? That's democracy at work.
Right.
But what's happening here is a teacher is overriding democratic preferences, and that's just not the appropriate job of a teacher.
Okay. Well, you know what? We've already gone to talk wassail, but that is not Education News of the Weird this week.
Oh, really?
But it is that time, the time we wait for all week long, Education News of the Weird time. Maybe we need some new music, Kobe. We've been using that
one for a while.
I love that
music. I dig that
music.
It
is nice, yeah. It makes me think of Burger King or something. I think Liam needs a crown. Liam, what's weird this week?
Students at Westby Middle School in Westby, Wisconsin have boycotted lunch, school lunch to be more specific. The pupils reportedly began their boycott because school lunches suck. The Westby Times reports, quote, 2 weeks into the student-initiated boycott, administration and school board members were all in agreement that a gradual communication breakdown led to the students' actions, and that the key to stopping the boycott lies in reopening the lines of communication between students, administrations, staff, and employees in the district, unquote. Or you could make school lunches not suck. So far, no settlement has been reached. In other news, Greg Tapo, a reliable source, tells me that according to the Associated Press, a federal judge has ordered a public school system to stop allowing in-school Bible giveaways. The practice reportedly breaches the separation of church and state.
Really?
The judge ruled that, quote, distribution of Bibles is a religious activity without a secular purpose, unquote. But defense attorney Christopher M. Moody said late Tuesday that the school board has decided to appeal the ruling. Quote, we think our chances on appeal are very good. And that's Education News of the Weird.
I mean, Rick, you know, I'm no constitutional lawyer, but I've got to believe that handing out Bibles in public schools is probably crosses the line.
Although, do we know whether this is a school-sponsored activity or whether they're simply allowing students to show up and give these books
like
away?
Like the Gideons come and show up and give the books away. I think something like that.
Because frankly, I mean, I suspect that if a student showed up and wanted to give away a stack of Obama or McCain bumper stickers, that a fuss would be raised if the school tried to prevent them from giving away pamphlets or bumper
stickers. Is McCainism or Obamaism a religion?
Well, but isn't it a free speech question? In fact, shouldn't there be?
Obama is.
In fact, isn't? Aren't there added levels of protection to allow people to distribute? Religious.
The judge ruled here that even though it was essentially voluntary for the students to pick up Bibles, because the students were young, it essentially was pressuring them to pick up the Bibles.
See, I think the answer here is by also giving away free Qurans, Talmuds, what else?
What's a Talmud?
Good idea. Yep.
Right.
People can't hear that on the show.
Right, Tom Cruise's thing, Scientologyism.
Yeah, the Scientology book.
They have a book? What do you mean?
Yeah, the book.
But he used to write these fat books. Like his Battlefield Earth, the one they made in that horrible Forrest Whitaker Travolta movie, is like 1,300 pages. Remember, I gave up like 700 pages in. I was just like, this ain't happening. Wow. And that's a fat book to carry around.
Mm-hmm. Dianetics.
Dianetics. Look at that.
That's what I'm saying. I think if it was a real religious book fair, you know, and there were all kinds of religions.
So do you want to require, so in order for students to be able to talk about and share their religion, they have to be prepared to talk about and share every religion on the planet?
Well, it's just an idea.
Yeah. Some religions don't have texts.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. What do you do with those?
Like the Wiccan tradition, for instance.
Are you sure they don't have a text?
I would assume.
They had a text on Charmed, because the girls were always cracking up in those books.
That's a spell book.
Yeah, that wasn't so much Wiccan.
Well, but maybe the religion is imbued through the beauty of its spells. I don't know.
All right. Well, Liam, thank you for that doubleheader of Education News of the Weird. Rick, thanks for being, just thanks for being you.
Mike, thank you for being you.
Until next time,
I'm Rick Hess.
And I'm Mike Petrilli of the Thomas B. Fordham Foundation, signing off.